You guys gotta do the stamping, right? You guys know that that's the Addams Family thing? I just know that from the song Days of the Week. Days of the Week. Days of the Week. Days of, nobody else, all right. That's fine, that's fine. As you can see, I have kids. How was everybody's Thanksgiving? That's good. There's, for me, I'm sure for most of you, there's a lot of eating of food and a lot of football. It was interesting. We had our nieces over, and my kids and my nieces came up with a competition for the adults to participate in. Part of it was lip syncing, just like, you know, the Jimmy Fallon lip syncing contest, if you guys have heard of that. But I'll let you know right now, I think I got ripped off. I did a sweet rendition of Santa Claus is Coming to Town, and I was told I was disqualified because I actually sang the words. I was like, come on, the music just needs to be louder so you can't hear me. But anyways, as you can see, I have kids and a wife, Natalie. I have a picture of them. I actually can't see it very well. That's sorry about that. When it's on the computer, it looks really good. Up here, not so much. But that's just a picture because we're at Greenfield Village. Natalie does a great job of getting us to go out and do things as a family together to build memories. But we have four kids. My oldest one is Maggie. I don't know if you can actually see. Yeah, well, I'll just describe them. She looks great. They all look great. It's a beautiful family. Maggie loves to read. Erin is the oldest of the twins. We have twin girls. She likes to do math and play soccer. Emily loves to pretend to play school or make believe. And Evan is our youngest. He's a boy, and he likes to play any sport. The other day, I saw him outside throwing a frisbee just to himself. It was pretty interesting. He'd throw it and then run and get it and throw it again. So as a good dad, I actually went out there and started playing with him. But my kids are awesome. As you know, most parents can get up here and brag about their kids a lot. And I think it's because it's a God-designed relationship between parents and kids. You know, in Genesis 1:28, it says, then God blessed them and said, be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and govern it. Reign over the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, and all animals that scurry along the ground. And we're going to basically talk about the consequence of multiplying today, which is kids, right? You know, having, you know, that word we don't like to say, and then you have kids, right? Anyways, that was awkward. We'll go on to just prayer right now. Let's pray. God, just thanks for bringing us here this morning. Just thanks that you have given us this is a cool God-designed thing, which is families. And we pray that you just help us to learn more about the relationship between parents and kids this morning. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. When you have four kids, you get a lot of different reactions. Some people think they're all cute. Other people look at you like, wow, really? You have four kids? That's amazing. I think it's sometimes because I look so young, right? I'm young looking. Is that not it? No, I think it's mostly because people are like, four kids, that seems like a lot of work. Sometimes they ask you, was it an accident? Was the fourth an accident? Did you really mean to have four? We actually really did mean to have four kids. And then sometimes it progresses, and it's always kind of weird. It progresses into like, well, 14 years when Evan is out of high school, everything will get better then. You'll get to have fun again, right? Because we see kids as a burden. The fun ends when you start to have kids, right? And then afterwards, after they're gone, maybe the fun begins again. I think there's an interesting thing that's happening in society today. I'm way up on all the new cool and hip things. Have you guys heard of baby moons before? Nobody? Some people have. Well, I was looking up a way to describe it online, and I got this quote from parents.com because I think it describes it pretty well. It says, a little known fact, somewhere before, then comes baby in a baby carriage. A line went missing. Though the exact wording is unknown, we think it went something like, then comes mom and dad's last hurrah, someplace fabulous, and thus was born the baby moon. Do you guys get it there? The last hurrah. Everything is going to end. Your life ends once you have kids. That's actually not the case, but that's the way it's seen, right? Kids are a burden. And the same can be seen for parents, right? I'm sure you guys have had situations with your parents that are kind of awkward or that you don't like. Like, maybe it's curfew is cramping your style. You're like, man, these parents are a drag. Maybe it's that they made you do homework. I get this a lot from my kids. We have highs and lows at the dinner table every night, and most common low is that mom or dad made me do my homework and doing homework because we are so evil. Can you believe it? Homework. Maybe it's your parents are embarrassing. I had a situation growing up. I played a lot of 4-H softball, and then at one point, for some unknown reason, my dad just started shouting, "Go get him, A.M. Hit a home run. Knock it out of the park, A.M. And I'm like, A.M., I have no idea what that means. And later I found out that that means Awesome Mike. And he continued to say it, even though it was awkward. I'm like, Awesome Mike, I've never been called that before. Nobody says that, but now you've just made up a nickname for me. So maybe you're like me and your parents are embarrassing. And we think that their parents are a burden. But that's not the biblical view of the relationship between parents and kids, right? And the way we should view them. Parents and kids are a gift from God. Psalm 127, 3-5 says this, "Children are a gift from the Lord. They are a reward from him. Children born to a young man are like arrows in a warrior's hand. How joyful is the man whose quiver is full of them. He will not be put to shame when he confronts his accusers at the city gates." Kids, it's very clear that kids are a gift from God. They're not the only gift that God gives, but they are a gift. They're to be delighted in. You know, my kids, I love hanging out with them, even when they're not the most helpful. We love to do projects together. Most recently, we were raking leaves. I have this interesting situation where my house is right at the end of a street, so there's always leaves blowing into our yard constantly. And so I'm always constantly raking them out, which is, can be quite frustrating, to be quite honest. I'm trying not to get angry about it right now or have any rage. But it can be a problem. And I'm like, oh, I'll just get the kids to help me because it'll be great. And you know what they do? They just, you know, like every kid does, they just rake them into a pile and they jump into them. You know, they don't put them in a bag. They don't get them out to the curb. But the funny thing is, like, when you're out there, you don't get frustrated. You usually just jump in the pile with them because kids are a joy. They're fun to be around. They're fun to be in a relationship with. And parents are a gift also. Deuteronomy 11, 18 through 21 says this, "So commit yourselves wholeheartedly to these words of mine. Tie them to your hands and wear them on your forehead as reminders. Teach them to your children. Talk about them when you are at home and when you are on the road, when you are going to bed and when you are getting up. Write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates, so that as long as the sky remains above the earth, you and your children may flourish in the land the Lord swore to give your ancestors." And this is a cool passage because this is right after, this is Moses speaking, and it's right after he tells the Israelites all the things that that God had done to, and reminds them of all the things that God had done to bring them out of Egypt, out of slavery. And he gives them some commands in there, and he says, take these things and remind your children of what God has done. Help them to obey God the Father, because they'll live a better life because of it. And it's cool because that's why parents are a gift. They're there to direct us towards God, right? That's the role that we should have as parents. We should direct our kids to God by showing and talking about what he's done in our lives, but also through our obedience to him. You know, the truth is that parents and kids are a gift because of the God-designed role they play in each other's lives. I'll read that again before we go on the next slide. Parents and kids are a gift because of the God-designed role they play in each other's lives. Jesus, Mary, and Joseph understood these roles, and there's a cool story that goes along with it in Luke 2. And it says this, "Every year Jesus' parents went to Jerusalem for the Passover festival. When Jesus was 12 years old, they attended the festival as usual." And you guys, the cool thing is, like, Mary and Joseph probably knew that there was something cool and unique about Jesus, but they also knew their role as parents. They knew that they were supposed to teach him about God. They were supposed to tell him what he had done. And it's cool that it talks about this festival of Passover because it's exactly the same thing that was going on that Moses was talking about. This festival is to celebrate Israelites getting taken out of slavery in Egypt to freedom. And the other cool thing is it wasn't just something that they did once. It says at the end, as usual, this is a practice that they commonly had, was to teach their son about God. And it continues on. After the celebration was over, they started home to Nazareth, but Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem. His parents didn't miss him at first because they assumed he was among the other travelers. But when he didn't show up that evening, they started looking for him among the relatives and friends. When they couldn't find him, they went back to Jerusalem to search for him there. 3 days later, they finally discovered him in the temple, sitting among the religious leaders, listening to them and asking questions. All who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. His parents didn't know what to think. "Son," his mother said to him, "why have you done this to us? Your father and I have been frantic searching for you everywhere." "Why do you need to search?" he asked. "Did you know that I must be in my father's house?" And I think it's kind of cool because I think Jesus is trying to say, you guys are doing a good job. You're teaching me about God, and I'm here learning more from God the Father. And continues on to say, but they didn't understand what he meant. Then he returned to Nazareth with them and was obedient to them. And his father stored all these things in his heart. Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and favor with God and all the people. And it's cool. Like, I don't know if you guys caught that. We have Jesus being obedient to his parents, which is kind of cool, right? And you have the God of the universe choosing. You know, the word there for obedient is actually willing to submit to others' wishes. You know, he was willingly doing this. And I think he was doing it to be an example to us of what it means to be a kid. What it means to be a kid in our natural families, but also in our spiritual family. Be a kid in God's family, having God be our Father. He was willing to submit, again, because it was an example. And it really points us to the reason that, again, that parents are and kids are a gift and their roles. Because a parent's role is to instruct and tell their children all that God has done. Children's role is to listen and obey that instruction. I know that's not very popular and people don't like that obedience. I know as a kid I didn't really like it at all. But, you know, it also says in Ephesians 6:1, children, obey your parents because you belong to the Lord, for this is the right thing to do. And it's funny because the word obey in the Greek here is a little bit different. It's not willingly submit. It actually means to dutifully comply with the commands or instructions of those in authority. It's a stronger word that's used. So as kids, it's our role to do that, to obey our parents. The funny thing is that a lot of us aren't kids anymore. We're adults, right? So it goes on to talk about what we should do, what adults should do. In 6:2, it says, honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise. If you honor your father and your mother, things will go well for you, and you will have a long life on earth. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger by the way you treat them. Rather, bring them up with the discipline and instruction that comes from the Lord. And it's cool just to think of even this word honor, what it means for our parents. And the word honor, actually, the definition is have a deep admiration for someone elicited by their abilities, qualities, or achievements. And it's funny, my dad and I had an interesting relationship growing up. It was kind of distant. So I didn't really listen to him very much about what he had to say about God or anything. But now that I've gotten older and our relationship is more, is closer, I really do admire him. I admire him for the way that he gets up every day to read his Bible. The way he talks about what God is teaching him when we get a chance to talk about it. I admire the way that he reminds me of the way that God is coming through in my mom's cancer, in her battle with cancer right now. You know, this is the type of instruction that brings life. It's the type of instruction that is talked about in Deuteronomy 11 and the type of instruction that's talked about in Ephesians 6:4. You know, he points me back to God, fulfilling the role of a parent. Now, even though I'm an adult. And the type of instruction is important, right? As parents, as adults, as people who are discipling others. We can have instruction that brings life or instruction that brings anger or provokes anger. And just so you know, all parents, they get their kids to obey them in different ways. Sometimes it's by force. Sometimes it's by raising their voice. Sometimes it's by shame. And to be quite honest, this is the one that I fall into most commonly, is shame. This is the one that I'm guilty of. You know, when my kids are around and they're doing something I don't want them to do, a lot of times I will say, "Why did you do that?" Or, "What are you doing?" And this is not the type of instruction that brings life. It's not the type of instruction that points them back to God the Father. But there's also other moments where I think I'm doing it right, where I tell them to go to the bathroom. You're like, "Well, why go to the bathroom?" Well, the bathroom is actually kind of a cool place in the house because it's just you and somebody else, sort of closed, confined, so that when you're talking about what went on, you can just have some privacy. And in that privacy, we get to do a lot of things. We get to apologize to one another. It's mostly on my end, I get to tell them truths about themselves. I get to tell them truths about God and what he's done on the cross when we make mistakes. We get to pray together. We get to pray that we'd understand them. I get to point them back to God in my instruction by taking them out of the situation. And this is the type of instruction that brings life and long-lasting life. And, you know, my goal is to try to point them back to God the Father. And again, I know that some of you aren't in the role of kids. I know that most of you aren't. I don't see any kids here. And I know that all of us aren't in the roles of being a parent right now. But this is something that we can grow in because we're all in a relationship where we're instructing or connecting with other people, right? And we're all in a relationship with God as our Father. And we need to take these principles and apply them to those situations. 1 Peter 1:13-16 says, "So prepare your minds for action and exercise self-control. Put all your hope in the grace and salvation that will come to you when Jesus Christ is revealed to the world. So you must live as God's obedient children. Don't slip back into your old ways of living to satisfy your own desires. You didn't know any better then. But now you must be holy in everything you do, just as God who chose you is holy. For the scriptures say, 'You must be holy as I am holy.'" And it's cool because, again, we get this picture of obedience. As kids of our Heavenly Father, we're supposed to be obedient to him. And it's cool because Jesus, again, gave us an example of that. We can be an example to our kids if we have them, our future kids, the people we're discipling. And we can do it right now. We can be obedient to God. We can take time to remember what he has done in our families, in our lives. Like every Thanksgiving, we've started this tradition, so every Thanksgiving is a stretch. So the last three Thanksgivings, we have taken the time to just say what we're thankful for. Through my whole extended family, we'll sit around the table. And it's fun. We get to talk about different things, ways we're thankful for other members of the family, ways we're thankful that God has come through in our lives. Every night with my kids, we do this thing called Thank You, God, where that's the prayer. You say, "Thank you, God, for," and then you fill in the blank because it's really easy for kids. It's a practice of getting them to be thankful for things. And it also creates a lot of teachable moments. Like one time they didn't want to thank God for anything, and Natalie in her wisdom decided to start taking things out of their bed, because if you're not thankful for anything, we should just take these things away, right? Which they did not enjoy. And once they realized they were not going to get them back, they're really like, "What?" It's like, "Why won't you give me," everybody has a water cup so they don't have to get up and get water in the middle of the night. It's like, "Why aren't you going to give me my water back?" It's like, "Well, some people in the world don't have food or water, so you need to be thankful for that." And so it's kind of funny. I think it's funny, but it's sweet. Now they say, "Thank you, God, for the people who don't have food and water, that they would get some." And so, you know, they're learning to be thankful for what they have and also ask that other people would be blessed. You can start writing down verses and remembering verses that help you remember truths about God. I always remember Psalm 62:7, "My honor and salvation depend on God alone." Because there'll be situations that I'm where I don't feel respected. And that reminds me that my honor doesn't come from other people, but it comes from God. You need to write down and memorize the verses that you need to obey. You know, this verse in 1 Peter, the thing that I always turn to that I need to obey is exercising self-control. It's funny because, you know, my whole family was in town, my extended family, my sisters, and we always talk about stories from the past. And it always comes up, well, it doesn't always come up, but it came up this time how there had been multiple times that they had to sit on me because I was so upset. And my, which is funny, right? It's like, it was like I had two older sisters sitting on the youngest brother so that he wouldn't do any damage. And it was rightfully described as my rage problem growing up this time, which I think is cool because it's true. It's like I do have a struggle with anger. It's because of my lack of self-control. So we need to start practicing obeying God the Father so that we can be an example to our kids in the future. But we also have to start instructing. You know, there's always people around us, our friends, the people we're discipling, that we can instruct. We can instruct our kids. And we need to do it in a way we need to practice so that we won't provoke anger in the individuals. It's funny because I struggle with instruction sometimes and giving it well. And so there was this time that I was thinking about a sister in the church, and I thought, she's grown a lot in patience and kindness. And so I wanted to encourage her, be like, yeah, this is great. I really want to show you where you've come, show you what God has done in your life. And so I chose to share this verse with her, which was probably not the best choice. It said, a fool gives full vent to his anger, but a wise man holds it in check. And before I could get to the point where it's like, hey, you're doing a great job holding it in check, she's like, what's that supposed to mean? So you can see sometimes you need to work on how you instruct. Because it's not going to be a switch that's flipped once you have kids. You're not going to all of a sudden start to obey God the Father better or more fully in your life. You're not all of a sudden going to be able to be good at instruction. You need practice. It's just sort of like a language. You guys know Morgan, the person who introduced me this morning. She's a nurse. She's a really good nurse. And she was in Kenya being a nurse there and didn't know Swahili. And so she was just trying to pick up the language. And I think the word that she was using was coma or something similar to that, because there was a guy who was like sort of out of it, and she was just thrashing in his restraints. She was just trying to calm him down. And so she's just being real sweet, going over and being like, coma, coma, coma. Then all of a sudden this other nurse who's a Kenyan walks by and starts laughing and says, you need to stop that. And Morgan's like, what's going on? It's like, well, you're basically swearing at that guy. And so you make mistakes, right? When you're learning things, when you're learning a language, when you're learning to instruct. And that's okay. You need practice. You need to take the time to learn how to do this, sort of like you need to take the time to learn a language. And once you do it, just like a language, it's not like you finally get there and you're done. To be fluent in a language, you have to continue practicing, right? You need to continue doing it. And that's the same thing with this. We need to continue to learn how to obey God the Father more deeply in our lives. We need to learn how to instruct in a way that gives life to those around us. Because again, parents and kids are a gift because of the God-designed role they play in each other's lives. And a parent's role is to instruct and tell their children all that God has done. And a children's role is to listen and obey that instruction. Let's pray. God, just thanks for bringing us here today. I just pray that you would just use your Holy Spirit to speak to each individual heart about just the things that we need to grow in. I pray that you'd help me to continue to grow in self-control, continue to grow in instruction that brings life to my kids. I pray that we would all learn to obey you more fully in our lives, that we'd see you as a good and gracious Father. I just pray this in Jesus' name.